In the year 1778, the Constitutional Convention was meeting in Philadelphia. It was a time of great challenge. They'd been meeting for about 5 weeks. They were attempting to draft our U.S. Constitution, and everything about it looked like it was going to fail. Things were beginning to break up. The delegates knew they needed to get back to their different homes in the different states. And at that time, a man named Benjamin Franklin challenged them and called them to prayer. This is what he said, and I quote, "In this situation of this assembly, groping as it were in the dark to find political truth and scarce able to distinguish it when presented to us, how has it happened, sir, that we have not hitherto once thought of humbly applying to the Father of Lights to illuminate our understanding? In the beginning of the contest with Great Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayer in this room for the divine protection. Our prayers, sir, were heard, and they were graciously answered. All of us who were engaged in the struggle must have observed frequent instances of a superintending providence in our favor. And have we now forgotten that powerful friend? Or do we imagine we no longer need his assistance? I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessing on our deliberations be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business." And they did exactly that. And as a consequence of that, we are as we are here today. What Ben Franklin was doing was reminding the delegates that were there of the importance of prayer and the need to pray. And when we come to today's passage of Scripture found in Colossians chapter 4, it is going to be reminding us of the same thing, reminding us that we who are believers in Jesus Christ, we have before us the importance of prayer and the need to pray. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. We'll look at just three verses, verses 2, 3, and 4. Follow along with me there or on the screen above. God says to us in His Word, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should." We've been seeing in the book of Colossians that when we turn to faith in Jesus Christ, when we place our allegiance in Him, King Jesus, the Messiah, it's then we become new creations, and we are described as belonging to Him. We're described as being with Him. We're described as being in Him, and we are told that He is in us. This connection now between Him and us is a connection so intimate that in God's Word, it's described as He being the bridegroom and we, His people, the church, being the bride. In light of that, what God makes plain to us is in His Word, it's completely obvious to us that we then ought to be talking to Him, correct? I mean, how can our relationship with Christ exist if we aren't talking to Him? As an example, when I was in college many, many years ago, I had a good friend, a friend that quite a few of you would know. He's been in this community all of his life. His name is Jim Swartz. You know, we were good friends in college. We'd rather play euchre together than do studying together. We talked about our fears in asking that girl to date us. Or, in fact, I looked to him as getting married before me and kind of leading the way along those lines. But once college was done, we went our separate ways. We never really talked. We didn't see each other. We never wrote to each other. And throughout those years, I had fond memories of our friendship, but I couldn't really say that I was still in any sort of relationship with him. However, 40 years later, when we move out here, now we get together regularly. Now we talk regularly. And because of that, I can say I have a good relationship with my friend, Jim. Likewise, the relationship we enter into with the person of Jesus Christ, if it is going to continue, if it is going to be growing, if it is going to be real, it must involve communication. And a huge aspect of that communication involves something we call prayer. The passage of today looks at prayer. And from that passage, I'm going to draw forth four different ways we are to be praying. Are those the only ways? No. But it just is a reminder of what it is, of the call to be involved in prayer and the challenge to do just that. The first thing we see in this passage is that we need to pray devotedly. We need to pray devotedly. It's interesting that in the very, very early days of the church, in the book of Acts, the church is revealed as being devoted to four different things. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says that they, meaning the believers, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So what did they devote themselves to? It's pretty simple. Biblical preaching. They devoted themselves to one another, to the fellowship, to their brothers and sisters in Christ. Thirdly, they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread, speaking of communion and what it reminds us of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then they devoted themselves to prayer. Those were the things they were devoted to. And we see that devotion continue as we read through the early days of the church. We come to chapter 6, and verses 1 through 4 say this. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them. And listen, we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. So these who were leaders had these two things above all else they were devoted to. They weren't devoted to their budget. They weren't devoted with regards to their programs. They wanted to give their attention to, they wanted to be devoted to the ministry of the Word of God. It is the teaching and preaching of the good news of Jesus Christ. But the second thing they wanted to be devoted to, give their attention to, was to prayer. It's that important. And so Paul says to these at Colossae, you need to devote yourself to prayer. Now the word devote, very literally in Paul's language, means to press firmly against. And in my mind, the image that came across was this. Think of somebody who's badly bleeding, right? And in order to stop the bleeding, slow the bleeding, perhaps quench the bleeding, you put pressure on it. I mean, if all of a sudden I would fall down bleeding profusely here, you know, I hope you'd come up and apply some pressure on that, right? And if we call 911 as I'm there and Joe's pushing, he might call out to the one on the phone, how long do I need to do this? And on the phone they'd say, just keep on pressing, right? You wouldn't stop in that. There needs to be that relentless persistence in it. And that's the idea behind what Paul is saying here, when we need to be devoted to prayer. That's what Jesus was pointing to in the Gospel of Luke chapter 18, when he used a parable to show his disciples that they should always pray and not give up. Be devoted to prayer. Now, devotion to prayer, as we're being called to, I mean, it's somewhat similar to those who are devoted to a certain sports team, right? A devoted fan might gripe about their team, but they won't give up on their team. This morning, my team made a trade, and I look at that trade and I think, what's wrong with you in making that trade? But I'm devoted to them, so I'm not going to give up on them. See, a devoted fan might go through season after season of losing and being disappointed, but a devoted fan won't give up. No, to be devoted means to be adhered firmly to, irregardless of the circumstances. So when Paul tells us we need to be devoted to prayer, he's saying, don't give up. He's saying, keep it up. He's saying, press on. Be devoted, and being devoted also carries the meaning of being ready at all time. See, when a very large company may own their own jet, or maybe even hire their own pilot. You see, that jet and that pilot then are devoted to the needs of that company. They aren't devoted to other companies. They aren't devoted to other individuals. They're devoted to the company that they're a part of. That's what it means to be devoted, to be ready at all times. In Mark chapter 3, Jesus told his disciples to get a small boat ready for him, and ready to go out onto the lake. There's the word devoted, to be ready. He's saying always be ready to break into prayer. Do it instantly at all times. I know myself with my spouse. You know, as we are sitting together in the living room, as we're in the car together, as we're walking along together, I don't have to think about saying something. It just gets blurted out, doesn't it? That's the way life works. And that's the way Paul is saying we need to be with regards to our prayer. It needs to be our first instinct when it comes to communicating what's going on within us, what's going on around us. Paul says we are to be praying devotedly. He goes on to say, pray watchfully. We're to be watchful when we pray. That brings to mind the words of Jesus, which he had with his disciples just prior to his arrest. He was in the garden and he said to them, stay here and keep watch. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. And if you know the story, you know they were not very watchful. The scriptures tell us their eyelids were heavy. And because their eyelids were heavy, they weren't watchful, they fell asleep. So the opposite of falling asleep is what Paul is talking about. We need to be watchful in our prayers, alert in our prayers. We have reason to be alert. Consider the difference between two military sentries who guard a certain area. Think of it during the time of World War II. Let's say there's one sentry guarding a recruiting station in Indianapolis. And then there was another sentry guarding a military base on some South Pacific island that was in the midst of conflict. Now, which one is going to be more attentive? Which one is going to be more watchful? The one who realizes that he's in the middle of a battle. They won't have to be told to be watchful. They'll do it automatically. And you see, likewise, we need to be aware that we are involved in a spiritual battle. And because we're involved in a spiritual battle, we need to be on high alert at all times. Peter, in his first letter, says this in verse 8 of chapter 5. He says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Your enemy prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to desire. What if we had a lion in our building this morning? That'd be disconcerting, wouldn't it? I mean, if there was a mouse running around in here, you'd be concerned about that. But a lion, we'd have to pay our ushers a little more than we do, wouldn't we, to keep us safe if that was the case. We don't have a literal lion, but there's one who's lurking around like a lion, always looking for those to devour. And we need to be watchful in prayer. In Ephesians 6, we're told about this battle, and we're told to put on certain spiritual armor. But then after listing all of that armor, which you're probably familiar with, Paul says this at the end of that passage. He says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." Yeah, in prayer, we need to be watchful. We need to be devoted in prayer. And we need to be thankful in prayer. That same verse tells us. We need to be thankful. You see, gratitude for past blessings, it has a way of stimulating our prayers. If we're mindless with regards to past blessings, if we are so living in the present that we forget the blessings of the past, we aren't going to be motivated to prayer in the same way. But when our eyes see the mercies of God as we look back in our lives, then our hearts are going to be filled with a gratefulness and our lips are going to pray words of thanks to Him automatically. When we're thankful, we pray more. So we need to take time to remember God's goodness, remember His blessings. We need to remember how He has in the past provided. We need to remember what He has done for us. And then in prayer, we'll be thankful. Gratitude for past blessings, it stimulates our prayer. But gratitude for future blessings also stimulate our prayers. You see, He has promises made to us. And we can trust Him to provide. We can be grateful when we pray. Even though when we're praying for a dog, we only get a plant, we can be grateful when we pray because we know that He is one who will provide for us. He is one who's going to guide us through. He's one who's going to be at work for our good in every situation. And the hope we have in Him, a hope that is eternal, that's never going to fade. So there can be gratitude, and there must be gratitude in our prayers for what He yet will do. And that thankfulness also stimulates our prayer for Him. When we look at what Paul wrote to the Corinthian or to the Colossian church, we see him himself thankful many times. In chapter 1, verse 3, he said, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you." In chapter 1, verse 12, he said, "Giving thanks to the Father who qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints." He said in chapter 2, verse 7, "Rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness." When we pray, and we must pray, we need to pray with devotion, we need to pray with watchfulness, we need to pray with thankfulness. And there's one more thing, and that is we need to pray specifically. Within Scripture, there's a lot of things we're told to pray for. For example, Jesus told us to pray for those who persecute us. We're told to keep on praying for all the saints, for one another. We're told to have prayers and intercessions and thanksgiving for everyone, including kings and those in authority over us. We're told to take whatever requests we have and lift those requests to God. But in verses 3 and 4, we're told of two very specific things we can be specifically praying for. It's not the exhaustive list, but it's two specific things. And they're good things. Verses 3 and 4 again say, "And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should." So what do we pray for? Here, Paul is saying, here's some things to specifically pray for. Pray for open doors. Pray for open doors. It's amazing to me that while Paul is under house arrest right now, he's not saying, "Hey, would you pray that I get released?" No. He's not saying, "Would you pray that I have some better food?" He's not praying for anything like that, which we might have assumed he would be requesting. He doesn't even focus on the door of his dwelling, which might be locked or guarded by a guard. He doesn't pray that that be literally open to him. No, he's praying specifically for an open door for the gospel message. A door, as we read of it in Scripture, is an opportunity or perhaps the ability to do something. He's looking for doors of opportunity to share the gospel. He saw the gospel of Jesus Christ as being so significant, it changed lives forever and ever. And he wanted an opportunity to both his fellow Jews and to Gentiles to share that life-changing, earth-shattering message with all persons. But how do you do it? I mean, he wanted an open door, just like we oftentimes do. I mean, have you ever desired to share maybe with a neighbor living a couple houses down the good news of Jesus Christ? You're not sure if they know that or not. And yet, you maybe only see them a time or two a year. You see them primarily backing down from their driveway and driving back up, and that's about all you see them. You need an open door. And that's what Paul was praying for, an open door so there'd be an opportunity to share the good news with them. You know, when we live with others in our community, when we work with others, you know, we need to pray for open doors. I mean, you might stand next to somebody at your work all the time, and yet there's few opportunities to really share the good news with them. We need a door to open so that we can do that. When it comes to our neighbors, we need a door to open somehow so that we can do that. It might be a family member where there's some estrangement, and it's awkward to talk about things of a spiritual nature after talking about them in the past. What we pray for is a door of opportunity to share with them. Paul said, pray specifically for those open doors. But he doesn't stop there. He also says, pray for clarity. Pray that it may be proclaimed clearly. He knows that's his goal, and he's asking God that once the door is opened, the message of Jesus Christ, what he calls the mystery of Christ, can be clearly explained with clarity to the individuals. What's the message of Jesus Christ? Well, I love the presentation about our Bible school today. Did you see that it's made up of seven C words? Seven C words. Seven words that really tell the whole story of God's Word. It's amazing. If anybody asked you, could you tell me the story of the Bible in seven words? Hey, send your kids to Bible school and let them teach you. Or even better, go there as a teacher and you'll learn it yourself. I think that's wonderful. Those seven words so clearly and succinctly tell the story. Now, how do we communicate to that with others? We need to be able to share it in a way that's clear. But in our prayer for clarity, it's not just praying that our words come out as they should. That's part of it. But it's also praying for their ears and for their hearts. Because we can explain the gospel better perhaps than anyone else has in all of history. And yet, if the ears and hearts of the other person aren't open, they aren't going to hear it. So we need to pray for clarity. As believers, it's obvious to us, is it not? As ones who are in relationship with Jesus Christ, it's obvious. We're to be talking to him. That's part of a relationship. And in this passage, we're told in our prayer to pray devotedly, to pray watchfully, to pray thankfully, to pray specifically. As I get things wrapped up here in a bit, I want you, first of all, to imagine that on our property, on the church property, there's a lot of oil, and it's just waiting to be extracted from our property. That would be called an untapped resource, wouldn't it? And so if we want to redo our sanctuary, and perhaps we want to use the most expensive carpet in the world, we could do that. We just pump a few more barrels of oil. We sell that oil, and we've tapped into that resource, and we can go ahead and do whatever we want. Imagine on your own property where you live. Let's say it just happened to have this vein of very pure gold running through the backyard. Okay, so your car breaks down. You need a new car. Well, what would you do? It'd be very pretty easy, wouldn't it? You go in the backyard, you get your shovel, you dig down to the vein, and you chip off a few ounces. You go take it in, you tap into that, and it'd be yours. Well, of course, we don't have those untapped resources. I think we could dig a long way here, and we wouldn't find any oil. You could dig in your backyard all you want. You won't find any gold. But there's something far more valuable than gold, something far more important than oil, and that is prayer. Prayer is the great untapped resource of we as believers, of we as the church. And we'd be foolish to leave untapped the resource of prayer. We need to be praying devotedly, watchfully, thankfully, purposefully. And when we pray, the purpose of our prayer is not for what we gain from it, but who we talk to in it. That's the purpose of our prayer. So if our purpose is only to, as Aaron said, get the dog, we might be disappointed because God knows better than us and we don't know if that's what he wants. But if we come in prayer to him, for him, we will never, ever be disappointed. Well, as you may know, today is St. Patrick's Day. And as I look out, I see a few of you won't get pinched because you're wearing green. But St. Patrick's Day is a time when this man, Patrick, is remembered and honored. There's a prayer known as Patrick's Prayer. Nobody really knows if he wrote it himself or not, but it's something he very regularly prayed. It was his morning prayer. And I'll read the translation of it. He prayed, and we understand it was pretty much every morning, he prayed this. I arise today through God's strength to pilot me, God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's eye to look before me, God's ear to hear me, God's word to speak for me, God's hand to guard me, God's way to lie before me, God's shield to protect me, God's hosts to save me afar and anear, alone or in a multitude. Christ, shield me today against wounding. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in the eye that sees me, Christ in the ear that hears me. I arise today through the mighty strength of the Lord of creation. Amen. Would you bow with me? Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the relationship you've opened up with yourself for us. And we realize anew this morning of the great privilege that we have to be involved in this relationship, communicating with you. And so I'd pray that you continue to impress upon us the great privilege and opportunity that prayer is, and I pray that you'd continue to teach us to pray. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.